Welcome to the Not New Movie Review, the podcast. Oh, we haven't done this in a while. The podcast where we analyze an actor's critical successes and losses.
All according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes. Now, I know we were just talking games a couple of a second ago. What do you think about this new Xbox D-pad?
Is that a thing?
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the new controller.
So you know the Elite controller?
Yes.
With this kind of circular D-pad?
Oh, yes,
They just put that on the new one, but like a cheaper, like a plastic version.
Well, I'll get it. I want it.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
I mean, you can't beat the Xbox controller. It's the best.
It is the best, yeah.
Although the PlayStation 5 controller looks pretty good.
I haven't used the Elite controller, but people say that just they put like weights in it, so it just feels better.
It's got some heft to it. So if you throw it against the wall when you get mad, it'll make a bigger hole.
If you throw it at your little brother, it'll actually kill him.
It'll give him a concussion.
So this episode.
This is
what do you have your hand raised?
Because we are officially. We have transformed. We are now the Not New Movie Review 2021.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. That's right. Club round of applause.
Congratulations, everybody.
We did it. We made it. So you were going to say this episode.
Oh, this episode? Well, we want to do something. This was your idea. We want to do something a little different, so.
Yes, so I always like to do, last year we did it with The Rise of Skywalker. I like to do an end of the year, beginning of the year, a little loosey-goosey, you know, kind of talk about, like we have like a main subject, but like we're also just kind of talking about the previous year, like in review, what we're looking forward to, you know, our hopes, our dreams, our failures, things that make us laugh, cry, want to die. And I figured there's two reasons I suggested the topic that we're talking about today. One, well, we're talking about Shrek. The 2001, did it come out in 2001? 2001, we should have done our research.
I want to say 2000. Yeah, I think you're right though. Hold on, looking it up right now.
Because the first reason I want to talk about Shrek is it was recently inducted into the National Film Congress.
Oh my God, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Huge moment in history.
Huge moment. And it was 2001?
2001.
20-year anniversary.
That's great.
Shrek, sure, it's become sort of a meme. But I feel like for the two of us, Shrek, we talk about Shrek a lot.
May 18th, 2001.
Not quite 20 years, but I'm going to count it. It's the 20-year anniversary.
Shrek is so... Like, Shrek is just this huge ogre in pop culture.
I'm going to say this. I would say, besides Pixar movies, Shrek is the defining animated film of our generation.
Well, Shrek and Pixar actually have a long history.
Really? Was Shrek almost a Pixar film?
No. Do you don't know?
Well, I know Shrek was almost a live-action animation hybrid.
Yes, but also, okay, so hold on. I'm on the Wikipedia right now.
Wikipedia. There's no Ogrepedia?
No, well, there might be. So Shrek, so originally, it's a DreamWorks movie.
Yes, as we all know.
We know that, what's his name? Katzenberg. What's his face?
Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Jeff Katzenberg used to work at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And then he formed DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg as the more adult Disney.
Yes, but you can tell by all the penis jokes in this film.
There's so many penis jokes. But they wanted an animation division, too, which is where you get, you know, A Bug's Life versus Ants. Right? Now, I don't know what Shrek was the anti-Pixar movie of, but...
Obviously, the anti-Finding Nemo.
Right? But I mean, for I think this was their first one too, actually. So hold on, let me see. So the rights. So this was. It was based on a book.
Yes, which I should read the book.
It's a 1990 fairy tale picture book of the same name, but I've never heard of that before. The rights to the book were purchased by Steven Spielberg in 91. He originally planned to produce a traditionally 2D animated film based on the book. Oh,
God, that...
But someone named John Williams...
Not the famous composer,
not
right?
Not the composer. He's a producer. convinced him to bring the film to the newly founded DreamWorks in 94. Katzenberg began active development of the film in 95. Same year Toy Story came out.
Oh, yeah.
Toy
Story was like an earthquake in the animation industry.
They purchased the rights of the Shrek book from Spielberg. I guess the studio did. He owned the studio, though, so he just gave himself money.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
We'll ask him when we get him on the podcast.
Chris Farley was originally cast as the voice of Shrek.
Yes, and he recorded like almost all of his lines too.
Right, and then after he died in 97, before the movie was finished, Mike Myers stepped in to voice the character. So this movie took 6 years to make, basically.
Oh yeah.
Well, actually, no. They started in 95. Yeah. 6 years, 2001.
And a fun fact, which you probably have in front of you, is that Mike Myers recorded almost all of his lines in his normal voice, but then decided he wanted to test out the Scottish accent and re-recorded everything.
Wow, I had no idea. Are you serious?
And he said, and according to him, I think he said, or someone said, that like Spielberg thanked him for caring so much about the movie.
Well, I mean... You know, I did watch Austin Powers and Shrek pretty close together at one point, and he's just doing the Austin Powers
voice. Very close. It's very, very close.
The film was intended to be motion captured, but after...
Which would have been fucking horrifying.
After poor results, the technology just wasn't there yet. The studio decided to hire an outside animation department, Pacific Data Images, to complete the computer animation. So DreamWorks didn't even animate this movie.
Jeez Louise.
As we all know, Pixar has been doing everything, you know, they keep it on the belt, you know, they keep it
in house.
Yeah.
They don't leave the house, not even to get the newspaper.
But DreamWorks Animation is the kind of rebel studio to what Pixar was at the time.
That is true, even though they've kind of faltered in that. Like what was the last big DreamWorks like animated movie?
I mean, the Despicable Me's are huge. Those little minions.
Is that DreamWorks? I thought that was Illumination.
Oh my God, you're right. That's Sony. Oh my God, yeah, you're right. You're right. DreamWorks.
Was that the fourth How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah, those movies are big.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Was it one of those weird ones? Was it like Abominable or something?
I don't know.
Who cares? It was probably bad.
Toy Story came out in 95, and DreamWorks wanted to answer that animation. They wanted to rival that animation division, so they formed DreamWorks Animation, and Shrek was the first product of that.
Well, and thank God for that.
So, you know, if you're in a room with Woody, Buzz, and Shrek, I don't know who's coming out alive.
I think Shrek, honestly.
You think he would tear him apart?
I think so. So Shrek. I think the last time I had watched this movie, obviously I've seen it many times. I saw this movie when it came out. I remember as a kid seeing the trailer where it showed the scene where they're on the bridge.
I watched it so many times as a kid. So many times. I almost wore out the VHS.
Even though I will say I think Shrek 2 is the superior film and a masterpiece.
Oh, it's so good.
I started watching, my girlfriend and I, we rewatched Shrek last night, and then we watched like the first 20 minutes of Shrek 2. And actually tonight, after we're done recording, I'm going to go over there. We're going to finish it. But,
Oh, you're going over there?
Yeah. After we're done recording to finish Shrek 2.
Oh, so you could have came here.
I could have.
It just would have taken longer.
I mean, I don't know if you wanted to do remote.
No, no, that's fine. We're remote. I don't want to touch you or anything like that. That's fine.
Yeah, no, we maybe next time we can share our Christmas gifts.
Which I want to show you at the end of this.
All right, yes. If you want. Yours is still coming. Although I have, like I said, I have a special surprise for you.
Okay. Is it another Vin Diesel pillow?
I wish. Honestly, I wish.
Because he needs a friend.
You only get themed pillows for your birthday,
oh,
mister.
Oh, okay.
And there's a big Hawaiian man who might be next.
Oh, Hawaiian man.
Who's our favorite Hawaiian man?
He's not Hawaiian.
He's Samoan. He's Samoan. It's pretty close. But anyway, Shrek. I think the last time I had watched this motion picture wasn't in entirety, was with you, actually. When we before we recorded our Infinity War episode, we ordered pizza and we just put on Shrek.
Did we really?
And I remember we were talking trash about how bad the animation looked, and I actually went into this viewing, like telling my girlfriend, like, yeah, the animation in Shrek doesn't hold up, it's kind of crappy. I think the animation's actually not bad. It's weird. I don't know.
So I had my analyzing glasses on when I was watching this too. Now
it's a different pair than your normal glasses.
Yeah. I recently just watched Shrek. It was on Christmas, actually. ABC Family had it on, went over to see some fam. COVID free, yeah. We're all good.
Oh yeah. Was a past and future guest video game expert of the world Colin there?
Yes, he was. And we didn't know what to put on. Surprisingly, there was almost no Christmas stuff on. I was looking for A Christmas with the Cranks, A Home Alone, something like
that.
Why
didn't you try TBS? They got the 24-hour Christmas Story marathon.
Oh, I didn't know.
You shoot your eye out.
But ABC Family had a Shrek marathon on. And it was just Shrek 1. They didn't have any of the other ones.
See, that's weird because there even is that Shrek Christmas special that I haven't seen. Shrek the Halls.
Yeah, so they only had Shrek 1 playing all day. And we put it on and we watched Shrek twice in a row.
Oh, so. Jesus. See, you've got your fill of Shrek.
So I got my fill of Shrek, which is why this time I just watched it in the car.
Yeah, this is the first time I had watched it in its entirety in a while. Like, I feel like I've seen the first 20 minutes of Shrek, like,
but
a lot
right.
recently.
You're right. I think there's a lot that this movie did right. Like in terms of, like, I was putting it in a perspective of Pixar movies, of course. So, like, there's that whole thing that comes around, like, all the time that's like, oh, in Toy Story, they didn't have any human models, so they used Andy for every kid. Whatever. In Shrek, there is some... I know they had, like, 6 years to develop it, but they did have some variation in, like...
Oh, yeah.
The characters... And then Pixar didn't come up with a way to do like crowds until Incredibles for that end city scene or whatever. But in this movie in 2001, that came out in 2004. In 2001, they had crowds in Shrek. Like they had
water crowds.
Yeah,
fire.
Yeah. Water didn't come around till Finding Nemo in 2005. Three. So Shrek does have some like animation chops.
Oh yeah, and I think the sequel only gets better.
And I think what I don't like is and I think Pixar had the same issue at the time, is just how to move the humans.
Yeah, they
the
do look a little
just move weird.
They look a little clunky at times.
Yeah.
But overall, like I went into this movie just being like, oh, it's gonna look like trash, and I was like, not bad, Shrek.
Yeah, not bad.
I was like, that'll do, Ogre. That'll do.
I was actually surprised that it was an hour and a half long.
Yeah, it's the sequel's the same length. Like for some reason,
I was guessing an hour 10, hour 15.
Yeah, based on like early Pixar. Yeah. Although I will say, I mean, Toy Story is obviously their shortest one. Bug's Life and, like, the subsequent movies, they all are, like, they get longer as they go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they ever hit, like, you know, ridiculous length, like 2 hours, but... I don't know what the longest Pixar movie is. That'd be a good question.
Well, I'll tell you what. Shrek had some money behind him, all right? Because Shrek was made in a computer with $60 million.
Damn.
And the worldwide gross... Oh, do you want to guess how much Shrek has made? Shrek's a fucking baller.
$500 million.
Very close.
Damn, 560?
No, 487.
47. Not bad.
Just for the first one. Who knows? Who knows what the other ones are?
And this one not only won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature, it was the first movie to do so.
Really?
Yeah, I guess
I had no idea.
I guess they didn't have an animated feature category until Shrek this 2001.
Shrek won the award for Best Animated Feature.
And I'm pretty sure Shrek got a Best Screenplay nomination.
Yes, Best Screenplay. Oh my god. That just solidifies it even more as this historical movie.
Like 20 years later, like I know there's rumors of a Shrek reboot, like Shrek sequel, but I'm just like, keep the franchise going.
Does there need to be, though? Because Shrek really hasn't gone away.
That's my thing. Like, just make Shrek 5. Yeah. I haven't seen Shrek 4. I have heard that Shrek 4 is underrated. I know that Shrek 3 is kind of forgettable. Shrek the Third is forgettable. Shrek Forever After, I always forget it exists, but I've heard it's underrated. But I'd be down for Shrek 5, honestly.
Yeah, and honestly, the way that he is a meme, like he's just a giant meme now, I think it would kill. I think people our age would go see the movie.
There's
just
a Shrek
to meme
musical.
This is true.
Like I'm pretty sure he has like his own attractions at Universal.
I think people would go just for the meme.
Oh, 100%. Shrek, he's a good guy. You know, he's a genuinely good guy, too. I'd hang out with Shrek.
Well, he's kind of an a-hole at first.
I mean, you know Shrek really well.
Well, I almost ran out the VHS.
Yeah, well, as a person, like, you know him.
Oh.
You're related to Shrek.
Am I?
Yeah, he's your half-brother.
My half-brother?
Yeah.
Do you know something I don't know?
Right, he's your half-brother.
Okay, do you want to give a brief synopsis for those who...
Why else would I have this photo if he wasn't your half-brother?
Oh, my God.
What, like, is this picture a lie?
It's a picture of... It's a picture of my brother and past guest, Colin. And then there's a picture of me. And then in the middle, Shrek is hugging us. Where did you get this picture from? Like
it was hanging up in Colin's room. I took it off his wall.
Oh my god!
So I was like, "Yeah, that's why. Like, I need you. I just didn't, you know, like, I didn't know you were so close."
Well, it was a long time ago. It was a troubled time. I don't really want to get into it.
Like, did he go to live in the swamp, and you guys had to like, you know, reject
it's
him?
It's kind of a
you
bit
know?
Of a falling out.
It's falling
it's kind
out.
Of a
I
family
understand.
Issue.
Yeah, hopefully you can get Ogre it.
No, I don't know. We don't really want to get into it on the podcast. Just like,
oh, I understand. But what were you saying before that?
I was just saying, for those who don't know about Shrek or what Shrek does, do you want to just give a brief synopsis of this fantastic movie?
Shrek is an ogre. He's big, green, and mean. He lives in a swamp. Doesn't want to be bothered. One day. He's pretty bothered by all the fairy tale creatures. Your Pinocchios, your three blind mice, your little piggy, the bears with the porridge, and he wants them out of his swamp. So he teams up with a talking donkey, voiced by Eddie Murphy, goes to Lord Farquaad, who's the neighboring lord, tells him, you know, I don't want these fairy tale creatures hanging out in my swamp, you know, they're cramping my style. Gives him a quest to go save a princess from a dragon. Long story short, falls in love with the princess. Here we are.
Find out she's ugly AF.
I know, jeez. Oh, God.
The greatest fairy tale never told. Shrek, directed by Andrew Adamson and Vicky Jensen. It ain't easy being green. Else. Especially if you're likable, albeit smelly ogre named Shrek. On a mission to retrieve a gorgeous princess from the clutches of a fire-breathing dragon, Shrek teams up with an unlikely compatriot, a wise-cracking donkey. And let me just say, Eddie Murphy freaking killed it.
He's an all-star. He's the MVP of this movie.
For real. I mean, I guess I didn't really listen very closely last time, but this time I really did pay attention to it. And there's so many jokes in there that are just for the adults that kids would never get.
And 90% of them were from Donkey.
Exactly. He's so good. I would say Donkey MVP.
100%.
Yeah, like, I mean, carries. He's the definition of a supporting role that, like, just supports the whole movie.
Imagine this movie working without him as Donkey. It wouldn't.
I don't know. I mean, they said Chris Farley was Shrek. I don't know who they had for Donkey at first.
I don't know. But it would have been a mistake if it wasn't Eddie.
Yeah, for real. What's your favorite part of this movie?
My favorite part of this movie, which I will tell you right now, might have to be the... I mean, I'm not saying the movie peaks here, but I just get so much enjoyment out of the wrestling match.
Yes, I think just, I was gonna say that too.
Just,
damn my reputation.
Like, it's Shrek's legitimately. Just going at him. It's just, I think Shrek 2 has better action scenes because, like, you can't top the giant Gingy, you know, storming the castle.
We need
a hero plays, like, my God. But I want to say my second favorite part is just the finale. Like, I love movies that just end with all the characters just having a blast.
I love the dragon, the first when
good.
They meet the dragon and he sticks
that
the sword
good.
In and the camera moves just in that section are so good and like
they're dynamic.
Yeah, they're very dynamic for 2001.
But just Donkey singing I'm a Believer, like...
Oh, there's that too.
That's just great.
Eddie Murphy says, the Shrek series is among his best works.
I agree.
You go.
I was just going to say, like, I'm trying to think, like, in terms of his voice work, what's he got, this and Mushu? I mean, Shrek's the best voice work he's ever done.
Shrek received his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
He deserves it.
That's how famous Shrek is.
He deserves it. I'm going to go there. I'm going to visit it.
Anything you don't like about it?
I don't think, which I think is a problem with a lot of movies that do this, I don't think the specific references to movies at the time work very well. Like, there's the Matrix slow-mo thing. Mm. Like, there's other topical, like, references.
I mean, Matrix was,
like,
what, 2 years before?
Yeah, so I get why they did it, but that stuff never... It just makes you go like, oh yeah, The Matrix came out.
Right, right.
Other than that, some... The gross-out humor, it's fun. Like, I'm not against a good fart joke or a burp joke, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it.
There
I get
is,
that.
Yeah.
I get that Shrek is a person, you know?
I mean, Shrek's a dirty green slime ball, you know?
Like, I don't blame you guys for disowning him from the family. He must have smelled terrible. Like, I'm glad that him and Fiona can fart together and they bond over it, but...
I was so tired of cleaning out that swamp.
I can imagine.
There's so much shit in that swamp.
I mean, they're talking about draining the swamp in Washington. Why don't we drain the actual swamp? Get some clean water in there.
This is true. Fun fact, there are 36 unique locations in Shrek, more than any other computer animated film in that year.
Do you think Steve Jobs was shaking with rage?
I don't think Steve Jobs gave a shit about Shrek.
I think he...
I think he saw it and said, Pixar is never going to make a green slime ball like that, dirty bastard.
Yeah, he's probably like, who gives a shit? We have Monsters, Inc. this year. Which is
oh,
a better movie.
True.
That
oh,
is a
yeah,
better movie.
Yeah. From a filmmaking standpoint, for sure.
Like, I'm trying to think of a Pixar movie I like Shrek more than. Probably... The Cars movies. I have no use for those.
No, Cars 1 is so good.
I don't know.
It
about
is.
That.
Like, you need to watch it.
if we ever do Larry the Cable Guy or Owen Wilson.
Wow.
Wow.
I agree about the fart jokes and everything. I think just one section that I could probably do without is that like whole Robin Hood part.
Yeah, like I get it, like it's supposed to be there to like further Shrek and Fiona's relationship, but like
yeah,
it does kind of come out of nowhere, and it's like,
and it's, I just think it's too long. Cut out the song, and I'm fine.
I think they do a better version of it, obviously without the song, with Puss in Boots in the sequel, in terms of like interruptions of their adventure that matter, because Robin Hood doesn't play a part like really at all later on. But yeah, no, like I think it just, Shrek holds up surprisingly well, and the sequel, from what I've seen rewatching it, is even better.
Like, ooh, Alan Rickman was the initial casting choice for the role of Lord Farquaad.
John Lithgow is good, but Alan Rickman would have been pretty killer.
John Lithgow, he's not really in like a bunch of like super famous thing. I mean, he's on the show The Crown, which I guess is really big. Never seen.
He was in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
But he was in Footloose.
He's always stuck to kind of like B class movies, but I think Shrek is actually like his A class movie. Like, I'm sure he makes a good check from Shrek every year.
Oh yeah, like he probably doesn't regret playing Lord Farquaad. do you want to know who my favorite Shrek character is?
Gingy.
Yes, I love Gingy. I love Gingy. Voiced by Conrad Vernon, who went on to direct Sausage Party.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Pretty wild.
Oh, there was something else that I just found out. Oh, we watched Thor Ragnarok last night. And
it Ragnaroks.
Oh yeah, it does. And the Jeff Goldblum kind of side character, his like assistant, that woman is in,
oh yeah, was Hunt Soul for the Wilder People. Oh yeah, she plays Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
Who Terry rules.
Yeah, oh, which, yeah. I mean, Soul was really good too.
Soul is top tier Pixar. It's so good.
At first I didn't think so. But then I had to think about it a lot. And
it's pretty low key for Pixar, which I like. You know?
Yeah, not a lot happens in it, but there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, and like I like how it at first, like when it like it gets into the premise so fast, I was almost like, wow, that's kind of abrupt. But then I almost appreciate that, like, we don't spend like the first 40 minutes with, you know, the main character and then the story kicks. I appreciate that it's like, here's the main character, here's his deal, we're in the story, the weird shit's going on.
Right, right.
I mean, Pete Docter, you know, he doesn't miss.
Robin Williams was supposed to be in Shrek.
Who is he going to be?
It doesn't say, but he had a fallout with Jeffrey Katzenberg when they were at Disney, and he didn't want to work for DreamWorks. So,
I got two things to say. One, I'm going to assume he was either going to be Shrek or Donkey. Two.
Oh, maybe Donkey.
Two, do you want to know a fun fact? So Robin Williams, easily his most popular voice role is Genie from Aladdin.
Oh yeah.
But do you know, I can't remember if it was Fern Gully or Thumbelina, but I guess he was doing the voice work for, I think, Fern Gully at the exact same time as Aladdin, but he made a deal with the Fern Gully people because he thought Fern Gully was going to be the bigger hit, that he would only do press and, like, you know, stuff for Fern Gully, because he didn't think Aladdin was going to be a big hit. So, like, he actually put all of his cards down on Fern Gully and just kind of did Aladdin as, like, yeah, whatever. And then we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, we do.
Aladdin was a big hit.
Yeah, it was. I was actually wrong. Ants was their first movie. Shrek was their second one.
Ants, a movie that I loved as a kid. I don't know if it holds up. I don't really need to see a movie where Woody Allen voices an ant, but I do appreciate that Sylvester Stallone plays like the second lead.
Yeah, this is crazy. Over 1,000 fantasy characters invade Shrek's swamp at the beginning of the movie. For them to have 1,000 characters in one scene in 2001 is is pretty crazy.
Like, I'm sure computers must have been sweating.
I'm sure Pixar saw this and were like, okay, they can do that and this. The movie's still not, the movie isn't as good as ours are, but
no,
but like, they can do stuff technically that I mean, we haven't done yet.
2001 wasn't a lackluster. I mean, Monsters, Inc., that door chase scene at the end.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
And that's the first time we checked into the doctor.
That's true.
So, I feel like a lot of people forget that he made Monsters, Inc.
He did co-direct Toy Story.
Pete Docter did?
I believe so. Let me fact check.
The thing that I always...
spread fake news.
The thing that I always hear about the first two Toy Stories in A Bug's Life is that even though John Lasseter is the one credited director, they were kind of directed by everybody at Pixar at the time because it was such, like, you know, all hands on deck type deal. So a lot of people say that, like, John Lasseter isn't really responsible for the first two Toy Stories as much as we think he is. Like, he obviously played a big part, but it was more of, like, everybody pitched in the same amount because it was such a new...
Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't co-direct it. He wrote it.
Yeah, him and Andrew Stanton, right?
Yeah.
Which is also goes to show that the first movie that John Lasseter made post-Pixar was Cars, and it sucks butts.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But I mean, yeah, because at the time, Pixar, I read a couple, like, books from people who worked there at the time, and I think there was only, like a couple hundred employees.
Yeah, so like,
they were all doing everything.
So it became much easier later on for one person to have, like, direct auteurship of a movie.
Like the character modelers were also animating the stuff they modeled and, like, things like that. I mean, now they have they have departments of stuff, you know, but back then it was just like, yeah, we want to, like, do this, so let's all do it together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is what you have to do when you're
small.
And then Steve Jobs would come around and be like, show me what you're doing.
And they probably spit on him then walk away.
They didn't, none of them liked him.
I have yet to, like, are there people who liked working for Steve Jobs?
Well, okay, so, like,
like, I can't argue with the results. The man was a genius, but, like, I'm just saying, right. Like, how often do you hear, like, yeah, he was a great boss?
Well, they didn't like him because he's very, like, he saw things in, like, black and white. So either you showed him something and he hated it or he loved it. So they would never show him something that wasn't either brand new, like the water animation in Nemo or whatever, like a new technology, or they wouldn't show him, like, a completed or a half completed scene. Even though he had no like say over it.
No, he was just because he owned the company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Did George Lucas have anything to do with Pixar, or am I crazy?
So Pixar used to be... It was a... let me see. I just read this book by the... hold on. Let me pull up that guy's name. So, it was John Lasseter, who was, like, the animation guy.
Yeah.
And then the computer guy, the guy that knew all the technology side of it and who made all the programs that they use. His name is Ed Catmull. So Ed Catmull was, like, the tech guy, and John Lasseter was the creative side. So Ed Catmull went to like MIT or some Ivy League school, and for, like, computers, and then he got into, like, 3D animation, and he made his own 3D animated computer program that Pixar eventually used. But he got kind of poached by this one guy who was trying to make a 3D animated movie, and then George Lucas saw what they were doing, so he bought that company. And they became Lucas Animation at one point.
Okay.
But George Lucas just didn't have anything for them to work on, so he sold it to Steve Jobs.
You made it Pixar.
And, yeah. And then...
All right.
And he kind of asked John Lasseter and Ed Catmull what they wanted to do, and they were like, oh, well, let's call ourselves Pixar, and we want to make movies. And Steve Jobs was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But he... Here we are. Yeah, I mean, when Toy Story was being made, I get in the book that I read, they weren't even profitable. Like Steve Jobs was giving them, I think he was like putting like $1 million a month.
Oh damn!
Into Pixar to make sure they didn't die, you know.
And that's bananas to think about now.
And it's just because he had the money. I mean, you know.
Apple.
Yeah, yeah, Apple. And then he eventually made more money from Disney.
Was he still involved with Pixar up until the day he died?
No, because they sold Pixar in 2006.
Oh, yeah.
To Disney.
Yeah. Well, so, there was that Rebel period where they made Ratatouille, Up, and WALL-E.
Yeah.
Because they were like, Disney can eat our ass. And then Disney bought them back.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with Shrek.
Yeah, but it's just so much more exciting than Shrek and DreamWorks and all that.
Yeah, because DreamWorks is just, they dream work. Like, they just keep cranking movies out, you know?
But they, like, and I think it's something that everyone kind of either can see or understands on, like, this deep emotional level that, like, Pixar does quality over quantity.
Oh, and yeah.
DreamWorks seems very quantity over quality.
Very much so. Yeah, because Pixar, they've been cutting down, like what? They had one movie last year? Or no, 2 years ago they had one movie. Last year they had two original movies, Onward and Soul.
Yeah, I think they are actually picking up the pace now, though. With Disney Plus.
Well, they've hit a good stride with... I feel like they're in a good phase right now with like concentrating on original stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they've almost exhausted all of their like sequel and prequel. Like the only other thing I can think of is like a Incredibles prequel. Like what else do you do? Nobody wants Monsters, Inc. 2.
But I've been thinking about this. I don't know how Pixar is profitable for Disney. Like Marvel stuff, with Marvel and Star Wars, there's so much merchandise.
Well, I feel like in a normal year where like movie theaters are open, you put a Pixar movie in theaters and they almost always make money. Like even like the weirder, more abstract ones, like Inside Out made great, like lots of money. Like Coco made lots of money.
Right. But in terms of like their other ones, Marvel and Star Wars, I feel like Pixar has probably made them the least amount of money.
Oh, those are definitely their biggest three cash cows, but like they definitely like Marvel's definitely the top one because like the MCU and like all that shit, like they have to love that. And then Star Wars probably comes second, you know. And then Pixar's probably one that they love, but like I get what you mean, like in terms of tie-in merchandise. Although every time I go, like I just went to Walmart the other day, and their Toy Story section was demolished. So.
Okay, all right, yeah, that's okay. So they're making something.
They're making money on merch from like the big movies. Like you put Toy Story, like Monsters Inc., like shit in stores, like people go bananas still.
Yeah.
Obviously, nobody's gonna run out and get like Soul toys, but like. I think that's what makes Pixar special is that they can make a movie like Soul that isn't like there's very few characters in Soul that I could see a kid being like, I need a toy of that. Like maybe the cat, maybe the blobs, but like that's why I think Pixar, you know, why we love them. Because, you know.
And especially since they're just putting them on Disney Plus now. I mean,
yeah.
What money does that make them, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd be very curious to hear how like because Soul definitely has to be a loss for them then. Because
Soul and even... Onward was a huge loss.
Yeah.
Because at least with Soul, they had another year to like kind of plan out how they're going to release it in a,
yeah,
you know, in a way. But Onward was like, they just released it, and then like a week later, it was like, yeah.
Yeah, no. But Shrek, what a guy.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry. We just love, we love Pixar.
We do love Pixar.
And, but, you know, I do also love Shrek.
I do love Shrek. The fact Shrek 2 is a masterpiece.
The first movie to win animated feature is insane to me. I honestly, in my mind, I thought it was Toy Story.
20 years ago, Shrek, well, Toy Story got an honorary Oscar because it was such a game changer. But no, 20 years ago, Shrek came out, rocked the world to its core.
And Smash Mouth became the number one band.
Smash Mouth, yeah. You can't think of Shrek without thinking of Smash Mouth.
Which I think they're pro-Trumpers now, I want to say.
They're anti, like they're anti-conservative type deal, but like they got in hot water recently because they had like a concert and it was a super spreader event.
They're anti-maskers.
It's a very weird situation.
Smash those germs in my mouth, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, here's what I will say. don't go to Smash Mouth to figure out what your moral or political view should be. Instead, go to Sugar Ray, because they were in Scooby-Doo. But
which is coming up.
But I will say that Shrek 1 has a good soundtrack, but the Shrek 2 soundtrack just, I mean, it opens with that Count and Crow song. Like, you got We Need a Hero, Funky Town.
Yeah.
And I maintain Shrek era Donkey and Puss in Boots singing Livin' La Vida Loca. Name a movie that has a better finale. Just incredible. Antonio Banderas and Eddie Murphy, two legends. Two legends that I hope we cover someday. Just going for it.
How many ogres do you give it, or how many slugs on a log do you give it?
I give it 3 slugs on a log out of 5. Or no, I will say 3 slugs in a log and a swamp spider out of 5. Which is still it's a heavy score. That's good.
I'm trying to think. It's either 3 or 4 for me. I'm gonna go 3.
I'm gonna rewatch it tonight. I'm thinking Shrek 2 gets 4.5.
Oh, Shrek 2 is definitely a 4 at least. Yeah.
Shrek 2 is great. But oh, no.
So you wanted to know how I watched this in the car?
Yeah, that scared me because I was like, "You're gonna get in a car accident."
Oh, this is a past rating already. Rated at a 4 already.
Rated at 4. Ooh,
I am gonna go down to a 3 though.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. That doesn't mean the movie's bad. You know, just our feelings fluctuate.
50-50.
You could rewatch this in a year and give it 5 for all of you, you know.
Okay, so I had to. I was driving around. I didn't watch it while I was driving.
Okay, that's what I was worried about.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was waiting for someone, and I watched it in the car.
Okay, I
downloaded
it
on my phone.
Because you will die by
there
doing
was
that.
At one point I was going 85 on the highway, and I threw it on the dashboard. I threw it on, press play.
You know, if you're gonna die, you might as well go out watching Shrek. You know. So I feel like we're done talking about Shrek, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
2020. Much like Shrek. Well, actually, no. Shrek's better than 2020.
Shrek is so much better than 2020.
2020...
The merchandise for Shrek alone, I feel like... Shrek is a franchise that is on par with Star Wars.
I wouldn't say that.
I had Shrek toys. They're Shrek blankets. They're Shrek...
I did not have everything. Shrek toys.
Shrek bed sheets.
I did not have any of that.
you missed out then.
I feel like maybe I did. I kind of wish I had gotten
the
Gingy toy.
I slept on that ogre's face.
Really? I want a Shrek body pillow.
Oh.
No, 2020. So, let me see here as I adjust myself. 2020. I feel like, obviously for a lot of people, 2020 was a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? For movies in Hollywood, it was a weird year. But I feel for us, it was pretty good as a podcast. We had a great year. But I saw more 2020 movies than you did, but I still didn't even see that many. because, you know, there wasn't movie theaters. I'm still getting used to this rhythm of renting movies at home, you know.
Yeah, best movie of the year, Bad Boys for Life.
I was going to say, my favorite theatrical experience, even though I only went to the movies like 6 times, was us seeing Bad Boys for Life. Like,
yeah, it was awesome.
You know that's the highest grossing movie of 2020?
Is it? No. Wonder Woman beat it.
No, if you buy the highest theatrical grossing movie of 2020 is Bad Boys for Life.
All right, I guess I'm looking it up. I think it's Wonder Woman, though.
No, like, you don't count, like, the home video rentals or anything like that. Well, because Wonder Woman only came out in drive-ins. Bad Boys for Life...
People are going to go see it.
No, Bad Boys for Life, it's the highest grossing movie of 2020, I'm telling you.
Theatrical...
It's Bad Boys for Life, baby.
Gross.
So we started the year out strong movie-wise. Not only we finally got a Bad Boy sequel, but it fucking slapped, you know?
Okay, you're right.
How cool is that? Sure, you know, one hand, I feel like, here's how I'm going to put it. The Bad Boys for Life being the highest grossing movie of 2020 is like, you just
Wait,
made a big...
Wait, this doesn't make sense.
What? What do you got?
When did Jumanji The Next Level come out?
Oh, that's probably because it came out late December. Like, it doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Because also 1917 is on here?
Yeah, those late December releases, like, they don't count.
Yeah. What about Sonic the Hedgehog?
That made a lot of money, didn't it?
It's number two.
Hell yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog,
that came out, a good movie. That came out in Rona times, right?
No, it came out pre-Rona times.
Oh, it did? Okay.
It came out in February. Here, a little side tangent. You want to know something that made me sad the other day?
You saw a turtle with 3 legs.
That would make me very sad. But no, I knew they were making a new Mario movie. But do you know who's making it? Freaking Illumination.
Interesting.
The Minions people.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. But, so 2020. So you're saying your favorite 2020 film is Bad Boys for Life?
Oh, well, I'm trying to remember what was released on... I'm trying to remember what was released. I mean, there was Soul. I think
you saw Soul. You saw Wonder Woman.
Good. I did see Wonder Woman. Definitely not my favorite.
You saw Onward.
I did see Onward. That's right.
Did you see King of Staten Island?
No. It is on my watch list.
Did you see Birds of Prey?
No, I did not see Birds of Prey.
I think Bad Boys for Life takes it, unless you liked Soul more.
No, I think I like Bad Boys for Life more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Now, I will say, I haven't talked about Wonder Woman with you.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I know, okay. It's very mixed.
It is very polarizing. I'm on the side of... I was all in. I wasn't like going into this movie like... whatever. I was going into the movie wanting to like it a lot.
Oh, yeah, those trailers. I've been so excited for that movie. But I still am.
The problem, and you should be, the problem I had with it is that it sets up all these movie rules that, mm-hmm. that a movie does. They set up the rules of the world and all that stuff. And then, like, every scene after that, they just break them all in this... And it's very strange, but they break all the rules they set up, and I didn't.
It's also
like
a long ass movie.
So long.
That's what, like, on Christmas Day, I was like, "Hey, I got two brand new movies to watch on streaming: Soul and Wonder Woman." Soul won literally because it's not 2.5 hours long.
Now, I will say, Kristen Wiig and Pedro Pascal are the best part of the movie.
They're great.
They go 110. I mean, they really bring it.
That does sound great.
And did you see that Netflix promo?
They did. I did. Yes, our boy is in a movie with Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds next year called Red Notice.
And a lot of those movies look good.
A lot of those movies do look pretty rad. There's a couple in particular.
No, it's this year. This year.
It's this year, yeah. One of them I'm really excited for is Army of the Dead, which I know Zack Snyder is a polarizing guy right now, but I think Zack Snyder is at his best when he's just making shit like, you know, like fun, gritty movies. And Army of the Dead is literally a zombie heist movie starring Dave Bautista. Like,
okay.
Can't go wrong with that.
Now, I'm just impressed that Netflix gave us the promise of releasing a new movie every week.
They did it last year, didn't they? Whether or not it was a big one or not.
Yeah, I think they have a... They said that 27 of them were in that promo. And I feel like that's all the big ones, like all the big actors or whatever. So there's like another, you know, 20, 23, 22 or whatever that aren't going to be big. But 27, you know, that's half the year you get a huge blockbuster.
So I'm just going to lay this down now. What movie are you looking forward to the most in 2021?
Well, I really only went through those Netflix ones this morning.
Well, there's a lot of them that were delayed. Remember, Fast 9, 2021.
Oh, you're right.
Top Gun Maverick, 2021. Black Widow.
I'm going to show you my home screen right now. Because I've been loving the widgets that they got going on.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Okay, look at this. Yeah. Fast 9. 133 days.
Listen to this. This Black message. Widow?
112 days.
I mean, Top Gun Maverick and Fast 9 are probably my most anticipated.
Top Gun. Oh, my God.
Yes. Mission Impossible 7.
Oh, my God.
Dune.
But, see, those movies that, Top Gun... Like, I feel like Tom Cruise is the kind of person... Because he, produces all his movies now, too. I feel like he's the kind of person that would want them to come out in a theater.
100%. That's why I feel like
with the streaming services,
those movies, if people don't have their shit together by then and theaters aren't open, those movies aren't going to come out.
What about Fast 9 though? Do you think Fast 9? Do you think they would push it back again?
I think they would, because I think they know that Fast and Furious. I have a lot to say right now. One, we also get The Matrix 4 this year, which I am very excited for that. We also get King Kong versus Godzilla, all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to say this. This is my personal message to everybody, all the citizens of the United States and the world. Every single person.
Excluding criminals.
No, they're in on this too. Everybody. All the way to the top, the presidents, the leaders. If I cannot see Fast 9 in a theater next year because you motherfuckers can't get your shit together.
Oh, no.
I will be so mad. Every time I see someone without a mask, obviously I think, wow, they're being selfish and spreading the virus, but I also think, I want to see Fast 9.
Everyone wants to see Fast 9.
That trailer, I think I just...
What if it doesn't come out?
I will scream.
What if they never release it?
I will scream. Just in general, you'll just hear in the distance, you'll read the news, Fast 9 delayed another year, and you'll just hear in the distance. oh my God. I need to see that movie. John Cena is Vin Diesel's brother.
Are the Fast and Furious movies on any streaming platform?
Some of them might be on HBO. Some of them might be on Netflix. We both own them all, though, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know Hobbs and Shaw, but I don't know.
But I'm just wondering, where would they go? Oh, you know what? They're Universal.
Yeah, so what streaming service do they have?
Peacock.
I don't want to watch Fast 9 on Peacock. God. You sons of bitches. If I have to watch Fast 9 on Peacock... I would be so mad.
And I bet you Universal is let's put Fast 9 on Peacock. We would get so many users.
God. Please, God. I feel like...
Vin Diesel's probably at the
meetings every day. He's not down for that. He's not down for that. But,
what's Peacock?
Oh, I like Peacocks. They're beautiful.
Why are we releasing a movie on Peacock?
I feel like he...
We're family.
Vin Diesel has a lot of sway, and I feel like he's definitely fighting for a theatrical release.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have a feel... I'm going to lay this down because I'm optimistic. I feel like with the vaccine and everything, that at the very least, we will be able to see Fast 9 in theaters by April. Whether it's a drive-in, I feel like... Here's what I'm going to say. I feel like by April, May, theaters will be open, but it'll be at your discretion. Like, they'll be like, hey, like, have you been vaccinated? Do you feel safe going? Like, it's here, it's ready for you. Do you feel safe going?
You know? You say April, May. I say June, July.
It's tough. It's tough. June, July isn't a bad bet. Because I could see them delaying it a couple months. Like, I don't know. I just, my number one wish for 2021 is let me see Fast 9 in a theater. I will scream. I will scream until my throat bleeds.
Now, let's do this. You go see Fast 9 in the theater.
Yes.
Let's say the theaters aren't doing any rules or anything like that. You go in, it's a packed theater, no one's wearing a mask because they're all getting popcorn. Do you sit down and watch the movie?
I think I do. I think I do. I think there's no turning back at that point.
Oh, my God. And the only seat that's available is in the very front row.
Oh, God. I think I do only because things are so chaotic right now. I could see my luck being if I skip that screening, they shut the theaters down and I just have to wait. And then it's an even worse situation because tons of people have seen it and I haven't.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, I kind of went through that with Tenet. There was that very brief moment in October mm-hmm. where they reopened theaters and Tenet was playing and I was like, I put it off. I was like, I plan on going. Because I felt fairly safe, and I was like, mm-hmm. I'll get to it when I get to it. And then, understandably so, they reclosed. And now, I feel like I'm dodging Tenet spoilers left and right. You know?
Right, I haven't seen a thing. I don't follow the same circles you do, but...
Yeah, like, so I don't know. I don't want to deal with... Because the Fast and Furious movies, they're full of twists and turns, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want things... I don't want, like to find out, like, you know, from like some, you know, chatty Cathy on the internet that like surprise like Gazelle came back to, or like, you know, mm-hmm, plot twist like, you know, like,
and she freaking, would, because it's a huge blockbuster and Gal Gadot is a huge name now.
I mean, they need to announce a Gazelle and Han spinoff, like,
oh anyway. Yeah, that would be like, awesome.
That would be incredible. But no, Fast 9. There's lots of movies I'm looking forward to in 2021. I'm feeling good about the year, you know.
Well, let me read you the Netflix ones that I put down on my watch list.
On your watch list, all right.
Oh, sorry.
Got a ding there. Your Pop-Tart's done.
So, well, I guess my watch list isn't that long, so I'll just go through it here. So we got Pieces of a Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Promising Young Woman.
Those are all movies from last year, but you still want to see them.
Oh, I thought... No, Pieces of a Woman came out this year.
Yeah, but it's technically a 2020 movie.
But it was released this year.
But no, it's a 2020 movie.
But Netflix... Isn't it a Netflix movie?
I don't think so.
All right, whatever. Apple TV Plus... On the Rocks, that Bill Murray movie.
That came out last year.
And Cherry.
Oh, yeah. That could be interesting. The first Russo Brothers movie post-Endgame.
Still looking forward to Queen and Slim.
You haven't... Yes, from 2019.
Oh, really? 2019?
Yeah. Is this just your general watch list?
This is just my watch list.
Okay. This is valid, you know?
Bad Trip with
Eric Andre. I'm very excited for that, yes.
Which
yes,
was
yes.
already leaked.
Yeah, very briefly.
It was already on Amazon for some reason.
But we only watch movies the legal way.
Don't Look Up, Adam McKay movie.
Adam McKay with Leo. Leo's mm-hmm. in it.
You just... Huge stars in this movie. Jennifer Lawrence, Leo, Meryl Streep, Cate Blanchett, Ariana Grande, Timothée Chalamet, Kid Cudi, Jonah Hill, Matthew Perry.
That's a Tyler big cast. Perry, it's a big cast.
Chris Evans. I mean, oh my God. How do they even afford all these?
With money.
Malcolm and Marie.
Yes.
Monster.
That one.
It's from Anthony Mandler. A teenager finds himself incarcerated at a New York detention center and charged with robbery and felony murder.
That's not good.
Yeah, it has John David Washington in it. So.
Oh, great.
So I can't, you know, you can't go wrong there.
No.
Outside the Wire. Red Notice.
Which, you know, stars our boy.
That's the boy, yeah. The Guilty. It has Jake Gyllenhaal in it and Ethan Hawke. These are all Netflix.
Well, see, I have my just general 2021 list open here.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like, are you done? Or would you
I'm good. I'm good.
So scrolling through this list, I also put, I put in the title, Movies of 2021, parentheses, hopefully. So you got Top Gun Maverick, Dune, Fast 9, The Matrix 4, Black Widow, Halloween Kills, the new Edgar Wright horror movie, Last Night in Soho. You got frickin'... I put No Time to Die on there, James Bond. You know, I haven't seen Skyfall yet, but we got a new Mortal Kombat movie. You got frickin' the new Luca, the new Pixar movie. That sounds cool. Jungle Cruise, hopefully.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Suicide Squad, James Gunn. You know, Jackass 4 apparently is coming out next year.
Now, I know you just said Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
So I feel like this is the perfect time to show you what I got you for Christmas.
Oh, you got me? What did you get me for Christmas?
Well, do you want to see it or do you want to wait?
Do you want to show it to me? Because your Christmas present isn't here yet.
I mean, I'll show it to you as long as you are fine seeing it now.
I'm fine seeing it now. I'll come get it. I'll come get it soon.
Okay, yeah. You're going to want to. Hold on. I gotta go grab it.
I think it's a cat. I'm just going to keep talking. I'm going to fill the dead void. So... other movies I'm looking forward to, Mission Impossible 7, looking forward to the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, we're supposed to get Space Jam 2, I don't know if that's going to be
the
good.
Space Jam 2. Okay, so I have that horror book that you want, that...
oh yes, I need to get that.
So I'll give that to you.
We'll probably record 13 Ghosts in person.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I also have this book. I found this on the sidewalk.
You did.
So I hope it's in pretty good condition. I hope you still like it.
I'm ready.
This is called.
Through
the Lens. Dwayne Johnson.
Oh my
the Rock,
God.
His life, his movies, his world.
Oh my God.
That is
beautiful.
Now I gotta tell you, I also love The Rock. You know this.
So
you know I've already flipped through every page.
I would be shocked if you didn't.
Because I was like, oh, I'm going to give this to you. He's going to love it, but I have to go through it first.
I mean, you gotta.
So, I mean, if we just go to a random page here, I mean.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's
this is beautiful.
I mean.
I can't wait to flip through that book while I sip. Just look at that.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So, in summation.
So, we talked about Shrek a little bit. A
little bit. And I was just going to say real quick, one thing that's going to be fun in 2021, hopefully, is we're going to be talking about all of our faves a lot. You know,
yeah.
Will Smith's got a movie. Charlize has a movie. Dwayne's got a couple movies. Vin Diesel's got a couple movies.
We're going to be playing catch up.
Oh, hell yeah. And, of course, we're still bowing down to the Lillard King, which has been fun. Mm-hmm. But
13 Ghosts.
Hell yeah. But... you know, I'm just going to say I'm looking forward to 2021. It's been fun. Thank you all for joining us on this journey.
Thank you, everybody. Oh, what do we got? You can find us at twitter.com/notnewmovie.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/notnewmovie to support the show.
Oh, yes.
We love support.
We do. There's the Chappie bounty hunt out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all we use is Twitter and Patreon.
Yeah, I know. Facebook's for losers, so.
Yeah, I deleted my Facebook.
It's a good move.
Yeah, I feel like it was past due.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg, he's a bad man.
They don't need more of my data.
They don't. But feel free to give us your data,
ghosts.
Though. 13 ghosts.
we want your data.
All right. Shrek forever.